97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
It's so damn hot. Milk was a bad choice.
Yeah, I'm no fan of Dave Murray's right now. He was on live about an hour ago with an updated forecast, and you know he just referred to that cool front, which is not very cool for Sunday. And then Monday, I don't think Labor Day is too bad. It's like 91. That's okay. But then next week, we go back into the oven again. So that's the part I don't like about Dave Murray. I should say I don't like his forecast. Of course, we love Dave here as our chief meteorologist, but not really something that is unusual at the end of summer in St. Louis, and it's one more weekend for the pool, so it's good pool weekend. Coming up a little later in this hour, my friend Dan Buffett. Dan writes and talks about entertainment in St. Louis. We've known each other for a long time. He reviews movies at Dose of Buffa, but he's also written some blog posts recently about Dolly Parton and some other things, so we'll hook up with Dan. He's always a fun conversation. We'll do that one on the Zoom. We have one right now. By the way, we're doing this a little bit more. There's this new invention called video, and we can actually talk to someone and see them at the same time. It's amazing. They've kind of walked me into this week here at 97.1 FM Talk. So if you're watching on the YouTube feed or on the X, formerly Twitter, you can actually see me. And, for example, my next guest, who is Jonathan Dickinson, CEO and co-founder of Ambio Life Sciences. He is a leading expert on Ibogaine, and he's got a new book out called Ibogaine and the Bicameral Mind. Jonathan Dickinson, welcome to 97.1 FM Talk in St. Louis. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me.
So last summer, I think it was last summer, I'm driving into work and I'm listening to Fox, and they're doing an interview with the former governor of Texas, Rick Perry. And this may have been 2 years ago. You know, time goes by quickly. And he's talking about Ibogaine. I'd never heard of Ibogaine before. He was referring to a piece that he had written in the Washington Post. I was absolutely dazzled by the story that he was telling. I then, in turn, got someone on the air right away who was involved in this effort. I'm someone here in St. Louis who certainly supports what this substance drug is all about. But, Jonathan, I'm guessing most of my listeners, despite covering this a couple of times on the show, they have no idea what it is. So maybe let's start here with what Ibogaine is and in your connection to this whole movement.
Sure. So Ibogaine is a very strong psychoactive. It comes from an African plant called Iboga and has been used in Gabon for centuries, probably for millennia, in rituals of healing and rites of passage. And then in the last couple hundred years, Ibogaine has been extracted from Iboga, and it's found a couple of different medical uses. So the most notable of those is it has this capacity to mitigate withdrawal from opiates. And so it wasn't approved for that in the United States and was prohibited, but clinics popped up in Mexico as more and more people were benefiting from it and wanted to go experience that. And it's only in the last couple of years that we've started to have this opportunity to work with more veterans who have traumatic brain injuries and to really understand a lot more what's happening when people take Ibogaine. So it's a strong psychoactive, but it has these incredible and really lasting healing capabilities that we don't really know of any other pharmaceutical that has something similar.
So what is your connection to this? Do you have a direct connection, or is it just something that became a passion? How did that come about?
I experienced healing from psychedelics when I was young. I had a really difficult time withdrawing from antidepressants that I was put on when I was a young man. And so I became really fascinated by it. And Ibogaine was a clinical context for these substances. There was a model forming in Mexico around the sort of community of people who had, you know, found benefit themselves and then turned around to gradually build on the medical model of care that we have today. So based on my own experience, I got involved and have done a bunch of work in the community to help develop safety standards that have improved the our capacity to mitigate some of the medical risks of taking it.
I think go ahead. Close your loop there. I'm sorry.
Sure. Just now I'm helping one of the co-founders of Ambio Life Sciences, which is one of the largest clinics in the world. So we treat several thousand people every year who are coming down both to Mexico and Malta for various reasons to receive Ibogaine.
So a lot of people, I think, might be familiar with the story of Marcus Luttrell, the sole survivor of the Taliban ambush in Afghanistan. This goes back 21 years ago, 2005, and there was a book and a movie, Lone Survivor. Governor Perry became very close with Marcus Luttrell, and when he wrote about this in the Washington Post, he specifically wrote about Marcus Luttrell and his brother, who had experienced, you know, a lot of pain and PTSD, but also had gone down to experience Ibogaine, and he saw a complete reversal. And then, I think, and you would know more about this than I did, but Rick Perry himself has undergone this treatment, right?
Yeah, he's been open about that fact. And, you know, I think he was expressing that while he saw some of these war fighters who had obvious exposure to minor traumatic brain injury, that he himself went and got brain scans before and after, you know, maybe he had some sports-related concussions. He mm-hmm. wasn't a professional or so like heavily involved in that, but he said that his neurologist also noticed benefits just in terms of his general age. And so, yeah, so I know that he's been very vocal about it. And to be honest, it's amazing to me to see the energy that's happening in the United States and with the federal government. And I think Rick Perry's been a big part of helping to translate that story.
Absolutely. I think he has. And I'm glad that he's shining light on this for sure. Jonathan Dickinson is here. We're talking about Ibogaine. He's written a book called Ibogaine and the Bicameral Mind. So there was a great piece in the Free Press from the spring by a guy by the name of Josh Code. You probably saw this because he told the story of a guy named Chase Rowan who used to jump out of planes for a living. And he was an Army Ranger at the age of 21. He used to parachute behind enemy lines to kill insurgent fighters. So he was on combat tours. Multiple. His first one was 2005. He gets back after 150 combat missions, and his body's beaten up, and his mind is beaten up as well. He's got a lot of headaches. He struggles to keep his balance while standing or walking. He's ready to kill himself. He prepares to end his life. And then he's actually sitting on his couch behind some suicide notes, watching some music videos, planning on, you know, killing himself the next day. And he sees something on video from the Joe Rogan Experience. And Rogan was interviewing U.S. Marine Dakota Meyer, who was a Medal of Honor recipient, saved 36 lives in Afghanistan, had a lot of PTSD, and underwent Ibogaine. And up until this point, Mr. Rowan had never heard of Ibogaine. It literally, that conversation saved his life, didn't it?
I mean, that's a sentiment that we hear way too often. I mean, it's a sign of how deeply guys are struggling when they're coming back from war, but partly, as you mentioned, with the emotional toll, but also with the physical toll. So the signature wound of the conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan is minor traumatic brain injury, which happens from being exposed to, you know, repeatedly to blasts or to high caliber weapon fire that's moving your head around and pressing, you know, the soft brain tissue against the hard, you know, skull and causing accumulative damage. And so what's amazing is, you know, what you described includes not only are guys struggling sort of emotionally, but you described neurological symptoms, headaches and mm-hmm. loss of balance and things like that. And it's even with these types of things that guys are sort of experiencing a sense of relief that we don't really know of anything else that does that. So that's a sentiment that we hear fairly often.
Is there a way that you can describe how it works? And because this is a very, and I've covered this before, and I think, Jonathan, this is important. This is a very, very powerful substance, right? I mean, this has to be, when it is a procedure, it has to be extremely medically supervised, correct?
Yeah, I mean, anything that has a effect on the body that's that systemic and it's touching so many things is bound to have risk. And from that perspective, Ibogaine is very safe. You know, unfortunately, though, over the years, people in extreme states of health have, you know, have at some times had to be hospitalized, and there's been a series of fatalities that have happened. It's a very small overall number, and we've learned a great deal about what happened and how to mitigate those risks. But it is really important to have the medical context around the treatment to be able to screen people out or provide the monitoring that's necessary to make it safe.
How is Ibogaine different than some of the other things? Like Aaron Rodgers went through an experience with psychedelics, and other people have talked about some of these other substances. How is it different from that?
Well, one of the things that's very different about it is just the depth and intensity that it takes you to. And one of the ways that that occurs in the body, we call this critical period of neuroplasticity that opens up afterwards. And that's the brain's ability to be able to change, basically. So this would be helpful even just to allow the body's natural healing processes to unfold, without being impeded by damage or whatever. So the critical period that ibogaine opens up after a single dose is far and away greater than other psychedelics that we see. So there was one study that showed, ketamine lasted several days, this period of neuroplasticity, psilocybin and MDMA 2 weeks, LSD 3 weeks. Ibogaine hadn't even started to plateau and drop off by the time they had to stop measuring for the study after a month. So we know from watching people that this period is months long. And there's
Ambiel,
nothing that does anything like that.
yeah, Ambiel Life Sciences is based in Tijuana, right? You can't do this in America yet.
That's right. We have sites in Mexico, in Tijuana, Mexico, as well as in Malta. But yeah, in the United States, ibogaine is a Schedule One narcotic.
But there are efforts, and this is one of the things that Rick Perry talked about. There's an investment from the state of Texas to look into this further. And President Trump is actually behind this because he signed an executive order that is going to offer federal assistance for research on ibogaine as well, right?
That's absolutely right. Yeah, there's a huge amount of interest that's forming, especially now that ARPA-H has is currently looking at prospects to receive a $50 million grant. And so that sort of matches what Texas put on the table. But it seems like there's other funds coming down the pipe. And so there's certainly enough energy here. And hopefully there's the willingness. I mean, ibogaine is a atypical kind of treatment. And so there's going to have to be some adaptation in the clinical trial process and the healthcare system to make sure that we're both evaluating this in the right way, but also accommodating for just how different it is.
What do you, and I know you covered this a little bit, but when it comes to what ibogaine has the potential to unlock or to cure, we talked about the PTSD, but there's also aspects of anxiety, depression, and you mentioned addiction as well, right? So it seems to cover a lot of ground.
Sure. So, I mean, still, I still feel that its ability to mitigate withdrawals from opiates is so impressive. Like, there's nothing that does anything like that. But what we're seeing neurologically is not only people with these like minor traumatic brain injuries from combat or from sports, but even people who have more advanced neurodegenerative conditions like Parkinson's and MS and ALS and who have suffered from stroke are also seeing these regenerative benefits that, again, there's no other option for them on the table that offers that. Unfortunately, we still don't know very much about how ibogaine works. We have really interesting signals. What we do know is that it's multi-system. It's touching a lot of different parts of our pharmacology and seems to be doing something rather fundamental to improving the function of cells, and so in neurons in particular. And so that's why perhaps it seems to be addressing many different things in different ways.
But this is something that these things take a while, right? I mean, for this to eventually have an application in the US, would there be a timetable that you would even envision there or not?
Typically, something like this would take 10 years or more.
Right.
What is incredible right now is just the willingness that we see in the federal government. Like the situation is atypical in many regards, but one of them is the fact that, here's this promise that's being shown through real-world evidence, even though it's something that's not already approved. And so normally you don't have that for an investigational drug, and there's something about that that needs to be taken into consideration. So it may help the FDA to warm up to sort of accelerating through some of the safety trials and things like that. It remains to be seen, but if there's enough willingness, the timeline can be shortened. And one of the things that the executive order did was to provide a provision for right to try, which would mean that even during its evaluation through clinical trials, it could be available to a small number of people inside the United States who qualify through that program.
It's interesting and certainly opening up a whole new world, but the research is important because, as you said, you don't really even know exactly how it works in some of the things that are a result of this. But it's fascinating when you hear the firsthand accounts, and even Governor Perry's firsthand account is really amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. It sort of becomes the norm for us day in and day out, and we hope that it is able to bring hope to corners of medicine and to people who, are facing situations where there aren't really other options available for them, and maybe this is a glimmer of hope.
Jonathan, is your book out right now? It's called Ibogaine and the Bicameral Mind. Is it out?
It's going to be out in a couple of days. It comes out September 8th, but you can pre-order it everywhere that you normally buy books. And it tries to unpack a little bit more about the experience that people go through. Because as amazing as it is that it has these medical benefits and these neurological benefits, it is a journey to go through.
There's a spiritual aspect, isn't there, to a certain extent? That's what people describe.
Absolutely. I mean, as much as we see people coming down and sort of their cognitive function improve and sometimes their motor function improve, we also see improvements in relationships, and a lot of guys just, rediscover faith in their lives where that had been lost as well. And so, yeah, it's very complex the way that it fits into a life and helps to support healing.
Well, I'm a supporter, certainly, of the research and moving forward to see what the options and the benefits can be. Jonathan Dickinson, again, the book is called Ibogaine and the Bicameral Mind. Keep me posted on the progress with all this, because I'm someone here in Missouri that's an advocate and, has tried to get some of my thoughts to the people and the powers that be. But we have some members of the legislature here that are open to this as well. So I think we can move forward with progress in our state. But Jonathan, thanks so much for coming on, and you have a great Labor Day weekend. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark.
Get more at 971talk.com.